time.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Around the Payload. I know it's been what seems like 500 years, but we are finally back, and we are, I don't want to say better than ever, because every show's equal. Every show gets their first place trophy, but this show is the best one that's airing tonight for sure. But I am, of course, your host, The Blevins, and we're going to be talking about all things Overwatch, Overwatch League, competitive Overwatch, all the good stuff. And boy, do we have some spicy topics to cover tonight. But before we do that, let us introduce the wonderful guest tonight. To my top left, we have the one and only Pesto Enthusiast. Welcome back, sir.
Greetings.
To my top right, we have the, it's unconfirmed, but I can say pretty confidently, the most regular guest on Around the Payload. That, of course, is Volumil. I think he's been on more times than I have.
No.
That's only kind of impossible.
Yeah, no.
But very close. In my bottom left, we have, from Dot Esports, Nicole Carpenter. Welcome back.
Hello.
And we have, in the bottom right, last but certainly not least, the newcomer to the show, the one and only Fish Sticks. Welcome.
Oh, thanks for having me. I guess I'm here to win it. I guess you win this show. So I'm gonna do that.
No, yeah. I win this show.
Well, all I'll say is that, Pesto, you do have the crown next to your picture for a reason. So, but if you guys are watching for the very first time, this, of course, is going to be a show all about Overwatch, but there's a little bit of a game attached to it. I am going to be divvying out points left and right. You're going to be hearing a sound that sounds kind of like this. Maybe. Oh, God. Okay, the points do work. Okay. The points definitely work. You're going to be hearing sound that sounds just like that. That is me giving out points, not you forgetting that you just got killed in Overwatch. But without further ado, let's jump right in to round number one.
Round one, capture the objective.
So we finally got word that we are going to be getting a little bit of an update during the World Cup of the viewing environment. There's going to be, you're going to be able to watch the World Cup in clients. You're going to be able to look at the replays. You're going to be watched from your own point of view. You're going to be able to see the top-down view, all this awesome stuff for the World Cup and maybe in the future. But really good news there. So, Pesto, what does this new system mean for the community and the community creation?
Well, first of all, I think that it was developed for the Overwatch League and that we are going to see it in the Overwatch League. That's inevitable. But the World Cup is going to be an excellent stress test for it. Mm-hmm. I think it's a clear win for content creators. I think it's a clear win for analysts, where I think it might be a bit of a, I don't even want to say net negative, but I think it's an area of caution, is if people go and view OWL games in this client instead of on Twitch, and the number of people watching on Twitch goes down. Because I feel like even if Blizzard comes out and says, hey, our viewership has increased, we have lots and lots of people watching it in game, analysts are only going to look at the Twitch numbers. If the Twitch numbers go up, it's a success. If the Twitch numbers go down, it's a failure. It doesn't matter how many people are watching on other platforms. And I worry that if the new spectating system cannibalizes the Twitch numbers, it's going to hurt both in the narrative and also in the ability for the Overwatch League to attract sponsors to watch the game.
Interesting viewpoint there. Volumil, what do you think? Is this all good?
I think it's amazing. It is a different take. I haven't heard that one, Pesto, so that's definitely, I kind of have to kind of throw that around now because I think that's interesting to mention. My biggest thing has been definitely around content creation. It gives a tool for analysts, obviously, but being able to see really what the community has to offer in terms of frag movies was one of the ones that I really, really kind of latched onto personally, because I kind of grew up watching old, you know, Halo, this, that, the other thing, montages, and those are really cool and built up those stories around these players, and that's kind of what I really enjoy. So, you know, expanding on those narratives, continuing those narratives a little bit farther, and really allowing the community to kind of clear out a more defined niche that, you know, some people are doing. There's some Korean kind of studios that do a very, very good job, but it's kind of niche still. But, you know, expanding on that frontier would be amazing, and I think that's a a really cool piece of content that we just haven't had in Overwatch mm-hmm. specifically yet. So it'd be really cool to see, and hopefully we get some in the future.
Yeah, definitely a lot of content potential there. But Fishsticks, you obviously have a very close relationship with the Overwatch League and Twitch specifically. So what does this mean for that side of it? And, you know, is this all good, bad? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, first things first, just got to get the snark out of the way. Finally, the technology is there that we can have tools and features that we had in Quake literally 18 years ago. Now that the snark is out of the way,
yes, I'll have to snark awards you points.
Great, phenomenal. I'm already on track. I got to say, this is an incredible boon for the esports community. I think replays, you absolutely cannot overvalue how crucial this is mm-hmm. for the development of the game, not just, as Volumel said, for frag videos and compilations like that, which are going to be on a whole new level mm-hmm. as soon as replays are enabled and everyone gets access to them. But also from a competitive level, you're going to be able to go back, review tape of your opponents, review your own tape, see where the mistakes were made. You know, right now, the only good way to do that is to literally record gameplay on all six PCs, mm-hmm. or in theory, all 12 PCs, to be able to watch every single point of view. But now you're going to be able to go back and do that right there in the game client, which I personally think is going to elevate the play across the board mm-hmm. to another level that we haven't seen before. Now, in-game spectating is one that I actually wasn't expecting. Everyone kind of has their own niches. I play support, I play tank, I play DPS, and that's what I want to watch. So I think it's good mm-hmm. that we have that. But I'm actually a little bit surprised. I think Pesto's point is very on the nose that mm-hmm. you're going to see viewers drop off Twitch. And I have a lot of questions. Will you be able to listen to the commentators in game? Will there be mm-hmm. sponsor overlays in game? So those are a lot mm-hmm. of questions we don't know the answer to yet.
Oh man, we might be living in the dystopian future of having T-Mobile spread across literally every single thing possible. Oh God, I'm wearing a T-Mobile shirt. How did this happen? I definitely did not plan that beforehand, but it worked perfectly. Yes, right before Halloween. But Nicole, last words here. What are you thinking about this this new development for the World Cup?
Yeah, like everyone else has said, this is huge. It's what the community has been asking for. The community wants total control over the way they watch esports. My screen just went black, so yes, I'm back
we
now.
Can still hear
yes,
we can good. Still hear okay, you guys. Okay.
But I think that this is going to be so important for bringing in new viewers to the Overwatch League, mm-hmm. and you know, when it gets there, because it's so easily accessible in the client where all the Overwatch players are, this is going to greatly increase the number of viewers. I do think it's interesting to consider, you know, the optics of a lower number on Twitch, though. That's a really good point. But personally, for me, I'm excited that I'm going to be able to watch my own gameplay eventually with replays. Like, I want to know better what I'm doing wrong, and this is the way that casual players like me are going to be able to get better at Overwatch.
Mm-hmm. See, that's where the real horror comes for me, is that I'm going to have to watch and have no excuse that I didn't watch my own replay. So that's that's the real scary part for me. But overall, maybe a little bit of a mixed – I think it's overall a very good thing, but maybe not 100% great in every single aspect. So definitely excited to see how that pans out. But moving on here, we had – a number of the spectators and a few analysts from Overwatch League kind of leave the Overwatch League, or maybe not choose, maybe not be on their own, have it not be on their own terms, but leaving the Overwatch League. But what is this, Valma, we'll start with you. What does this kind of mean for the Overwatch League and maybe competitive Overwatch in general? Is this a bad sign, or is this just kind of a false negative here?
I kind of do think it is a red herring for the most part. It is sad to see some of the people exit the scene. But I think it is a giant restructuring that could be happening. I'm obviously not entirely too sure. But when you see, you know, high-level spectators being, you know, let go from their contractor, you know, the details are still kind of fuzzy for me. And I believe Crumbs is now kind of stepping away. It is sad to see them go. It's disappointing. I thought that they had some room to grow, specifically, you know, speaking to Crumbs. I thought he, you know, brought some experience to the desk that I thought was really cool. Mm-hmm. But it could be just, you know, some restructuring tendencies that they're going to be looking at, you know, what repurposing resources, you know, moving around different things, you know, business jargon and whatever. But I don't think it's necessarily like, you know, let's put up, you know, throw in the towel and, you know, this whole thing's a bust. I think it's just a management of resources. That's all.
Gotcha. Makes sense. So Fishsticks, what do you think? Is this just moving around resources, a little bit of spring cleaning for season one, or is this a sign of something bigger?
You know, I may have personally overreacted to this one, particularly because there were some good people let go at the same time as like a bunch of other people being let go at other unrelated esports organizations. So it gave me a quick panic attack, like, whoa, what is going on here? I know that, you know, behind the scenes, like, I kind of framed it in my tweets as a layoff, but it may not necessarily have been a layoff. It may have been more of like, we have our own differences. Regardless, the thing that does concern me is Overwatch League Season 2, the buy-ins were rumored to be $30 to $60 million. That's a huge increase from Season 1. We're going to have more teams. And ideally, Blizzard is going to add more sponsorships, more everything, better production value. So the fact that people are being let go at the same time as we're supposedly ramping things up concerns me. And another thing is, you know, me as somebody that's out in the job market looking around a little bit here and there, I've been checking the Blizzard esports page. There aren't basically any esports jobs left. Whereas if you go back a year ago, there was 10, 12, 15, 20 different esports jobs up on their page. So what concerns me more than the specific people getting let go is the fact that things are supposed to be ramping up, yet it does look like the budget's being pulled back, not just here, but potentially with contenders as well. We don't know all the details. So I'm concerned, but ultimately it's a business and they need to do what they think is right to make it successful.
Yeah, definitely. Even if it's not the biggest thing in the world right now, definitely have noticed the same sorts of things that you were, Fishsticks. And if my employers were listening, I definitely wasn't checking the job postings. But if they're not, I definitely was. I love you guys. Please don't fire me. But moving on, Nicole, what are your thoughts here? Do you think that this is maybe the kind of the rumblings of something bigger here? Or is it just kind of something smaller than that?
Yeah, I think it's something smaller. I think that, like Fishsticks said, like all of these layoffs and, you know, people leaving their jobs, they all kind of happened at the same time. And it made it feel like they were all related, and maybe they are, but I don't think that, you know, I think it was a coincidence that all of this came out at all around the same time. I wouldn't call it really an exodus, you know. It super sucks when people lose their jobs. And it is upsetting to see some of these big names leave the Overwatch League team. But yeah, it's I think that with something as new as the Overwatch League, there is going to be some restructuring and kind of adjustments behind the scenes that we don't know the answers to. You know, the public's not privy to. I do wonder if the spectator client has anything to do with some like spectator changes, but you know, that's, I don't know. I don't have any information there. So at this point,
that would make sense, which also means that the Omnix are literally taking people's jobs. Just we're living in the future right now, just saying. But Besto, last words here on this, maybe Exodus, maybe not so much. What are you thinking?
I think that the important question is going to be who is ultimately brought in to replace these people that have departed, and in what fashion. I have heard some rumors about the format changing, extending to the out-of-game pieces, and that potentially they're going to be rearranging that side of it. It's always sad to see people leave, but if they wind up removing two people and then bringing in two other people from, say, the Apex veterans or producers from Europe, then maybe it's not content, maybe it's not cost, maybe it's personality, or maybe it's their approach towards how they're doing the job. But I think it's a little bit early to tell. I know that there is concern across the board about budget. I mean, if you look at a lot of these changes from a business standpoint, rearranging the season so that there is less downtime means that there is less travel. Making the World Cup groups based on what's the closest venue as opposed to what your rank is, again, they're looking to cut down travel. Cutting people, cutting how contenders works. There is enough little breadcrumbs for me to be led down to the gingerbread house of they want to cut their expenses, but it's still way too early to see what's going to ultimately be put in place in the future to know how bad this is going to be or even if it's bad at all. So right now I'm sort of in a wait and see approach, and I don't know. Hopefully they just leave Sideshow and Bren together on the desk all the time, because I think that's the best pairing and they're hilarious. But I want to wait and see before I really pass judgment on what this is.
Yeah, that seems to be the smart thing, but Reddit will have other words for sure. Speaking of Reddit,
fantastic segue.
Yeah, got there. I'll give myself the award. If I could give myself points, I would. Speaking of Reddit overreacting, or maybe just react, I don't know. I'm not going to pass judgment here. Speaking of Reddit reacting in a big way, I'll give a little bit of context here. So we had some leaks the other day. Maybe was it actually just yesterday? Maybe 2 days ago.
It was yesterday. It feels like it was a week.
It does feel like ago. It really does. God. So literally yesterday we had some leaks about some changes to the contenders, to contenders in general. I'm sure you guys have seen that already, so I won't go into all the details, but we had some leaks and then we had some official confirmation today. I'll just pass it over to you, Fishsticks. Is it actually a huge deal that this change happened, or were the chicken littles of Reddit really just crying that the sky was falling?
Good God, how do I do this in 90 seconds? So there's a lot of things to unpack here. First of all, I want to make it very clear that not every esport has a version of contenders. The fact that contenders exists is proof that Blizzard does want to create structure for the tier 2 scene. Because it maybe is being downsized a bit does not mean that the sky is falling. I think the thing that people really latched onto in those leaks was that there's potentially no LAN finals. Well, guess what? The actual release came out today giving all the information, and there was no mention of a lack of LAN finals. So some people are speculating maybe it was just for Europe, where there will be no LAN finals, and every other region may still continue, or the regions that had LAN finals before will continue in the future. We don't know at this point. But I think one thing that I really want people on Reddit or on Twitter or whatever to consider is that you're jumping to conclusions without having full information. For instance, in the press release today about the changes to contenders, we also saw that there are going to be soft region locking so that you can only have 3 non-native people to whichever region you're talking about. And then everyone on Reddit is super stoked and super excited about this. Another thing that was not necessarily in the leaks that we did kind of learn through a guy named Aluski on Twitter, Eluskie, who is involved in the contender scene in Europe, he's speculating that there's actually going to be less burdens and less restrictions on third-party tournaments for the Tier 2 scene. So we might actually see more prize money, more involvement from Tier 2 third-party tournament providers. So I think really for me, the bottom line is this is very complicated. Contenders is not going away, so it's still meant to be some structure. If there truly are no more LAN finals, I think that's a huge mistake. I think that's a huge bummer, but we don't know all the details. And until you have all the details, maybe reserve your judgment for just a second, especially when in the leak, it's like, you're going to know more tomorrow. I'm like, why did you leak it then? But whatever.
I mean, I maybe would make that argument about all the leaks, but I'm not here to pass judgment on people that leak stuff. Let's move on. Nicole, what are your thoughts on this whole debacle, the Reddit reaction, the actual facts of it? What are your thoughts on it?
Yeah, I think people really latched on to the recording without realizing that that was a meeting between European contenders, folks. And so the comment about the no LAN finals was also specifically just for season 3 in 2018 for Europe. So we had a lot of missing information there, and we still do. So I understand the panic. I understand that players and community members are scared. Change is scary. And these are people's livelihoods, people who, you know, maybe aren't making great salaries or want the future to change. And so hearing something like that, I think that panic is kind of warranted, but at the same time, the panic came a little bit too soon. We got the release today and it didn't seem as bad as suspected. Mm-hmm. Personally, I'm really interested to see how season or next year is going to work out with the soft region locking. I think that could be something really positive for building up players in different regions and like really grasping onto local scenes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely a lot of potential positives from those changes. Pesto, what are your thoughts here on this whole contenders change?
I mean, just like everyone else, I see it sort of as a mixed bag. The region locking, I think, is going to be a very strange thing for the academy teams that have all Korean players, and then you have three potential people from outside of the scene, and then you have the potential for two-way players. How does that interface? I'd like to get some more information about. Because then you could potentially have academy teams with five Koreans instead of three, which, I mean, I think that this is partially a move to protect the investments of the academy teams, because GGEA and London getting relegated is not a good look. Mm-hmm. However, while I understand that the primary purpose of the contenders is talent, and it's not necessarily supposed to be its own self-sufficient broadcast, you can't really expect a huge amount of money and resources and glamour and sponsorships and endemic organizations and all the things we'd expect in a top-tier esport in something that is guaranteed to be the second tier and is very rarely going to get more than 1,000 people in a broadcast. So I understand why they're sort of restructuring it and making it a bit more about a consistent talent pipeline with consistent teams than about real competition. It's sad for the players involved, especially if this winds up meaning that there's less salaries, which is still to be seen, but I understand it completely.
For sure. Definitely a lot of harsh truths potentially coming out here. Valma, last words on the new contenders.
So to kind of reiterate on a point that, you know, all of the guests have touched on is the soft region locking. I you know, for those who are very against this, I don't necessarily think this affects too terribly much outside of China and the Pacific region specifically. Now in China, we had a very, very dominant team kind of run through season one and season two, which was full Korean. So yes, obviously that can't happen again. There is a trials team that was full Korean. Obviously that has to be changed going into Contender Season 3. And the Pacific, there were quite a few all Korean teams that, while they didn't necessarily impress as much as they could have, obviously that can't happen in the future. And there's some North American teams that have European and South Korean players, so that's going to have to be restructured as well. But I don't necessarily think a ton is going to change from that. I think it is kind of designated for a few regions that had issues. But I was really excited that they're at least tabling some sort of Champions League possibility land final. At the very end of the article, we hear that, you know, there could maybe be a possibility that we see, you know, the winners from all the regions come in this big kind of Worlds-esque event, which would be really cool.
We've been wanting that for so long.
Oh, don't get my hopes up. Wouldn't that be so cool? Like, that would be an amazing event.
It would
event.
Be
like,
amazing.
It's so obvious, too. It's like,
it was that, so that obvious. Would be the idea. Now that we have season zero. So obvious. It was so obvious before anything. Yeah, no, it definitely was.
That's the idea, right? And it's good. I'm glad that we're at least tabling that discussion, that it's on the table, you know, hypothetically, right? Obviously, I can't know, but that's just what I gleaned from that last little comment. And that it excites me more than, you know, the couple steps back that they're having to take to make this sustainable in the long run, to increase viewership, to increase parity, which I think is all really, really important. So for the most part, I think this is, you know, while slightly disappointing for some people, for some teams, for some, you know, regions, I think this is going to be a net positive in the long run. So, you know, one thumb up. Not too.
If they do a Champions League, I want them to go back and play Envious versus Gigante from that original season of Contenders.
Sure, you could do that. Like a show match.
Yeah, I want them to go back. Where are they now? do it. I run it back because we asked for that so many times back in the day. But
I have a question though before you move on.
Sure.
If North America is two regions and there is region lock, are they going to be saying, "Well, if you're from California, you can't play on Boston"? That would be impossible and probably will never happen. But it would be hilarious.
That would be really funny. Yeah.
Let's see your birth certificate.
That would get me
twice as
excited because then I'd be rooting for the West Coast. Let's go, babe.
No, boo, West Coast. East Coast is Beast Coast. Let's come on, get in. Okay, I'm not going to get.
And then there's the Best Coast.
I'm not going to get a lot of fans in esports by rooting for East Coast. But, okay, that's going to bring us to the end of round number one. And we're going to actually do it a little bit differently this round just because we moved some questions around. So we're only doing two rounds this time. But so the next round is going to be the buy or sell round. But before we go into that round, let's quickly review the scores here. And this is a close – this is a high point scoring – really close game. This is like watching a Warriors game here. In first place, we have the newcomer, Fishsticks, with 25 points. Right after, we have Nicole with 24. And rounding out the back of the pack, we have both Pesto and Vomil with 23 points. So even though we have a clear leader here, it's still anyone's game as you go in to the buy or sell round.
Round two. Capture the objective.
This, of course, buy or sell round. I'm going to be posing very similar topics. And you're going to either choose to buy it, which means agree, or sell, which means disagree. And here we go. So Shanghai Dragons have got a brand spanking new roster, many of which of the players are from Kongdu Panthera. So I definitely didn't word this in a way that would make buy or sell. I'm going to do it on the fly. So, Nicole, buy or sell that the new Shanghai Dragons roster are in the best possible situation coming off of being 0-40 last season?
Yeah, definitely buy. Shanghai didn't have a foundation last year, and bringing in a core group of Kongdu players gives them that foundation to build off of. You know, I think that honestly, that's more important than mechanical skill of players. Having something that works, something with synergy, something to build off of, that's what Shanghai needs, and now they have it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is definitely true. They really were a hodgepodge last season, being the actual worst sports organization in history in terms of win percentage. So what are your thoughts here? Are you buying or selling Shanghai being in a good situation for season two?
I'm buying it, but before I go into that, hear me out. There's going to be exactly one game between Shanghai and Philly next season. If they don't do a watch point, Carpe versus DM, I'm going to be so disappointed. But no, I think the only thing better than having most of the Kongdu players would have been having all the Kongdu players, which is impossible because some of them are going to be on Gladiators, or having Runaway, which is impossible because...
do a sound of a leaking pipe there.
it's a combination of veterans that know what it's like to be an owl and then a bunch of land proven very talented players. I think that they're going to be up there in the playoffs. I think the only concern I have is that I think Dia is far too talented to be the one person that gets left out. I'm worried if he doesn't speak any Korean, he's just going to be sitting there on the sidelines, and it would have been nice to have seen him go to one of the other Chinese teams because I don't see him working. That's the only part of this I would sell. Having exactly one Chinese player, unless they have a couple of two ways in their academy team, I don't see how he's going to get play time or the opportunity that he deserves just because of the language barrier and of him being the odd person. And I hope I'm proven wrong.
Interesting. What I gleaned from there is that confirmed Pesto enthusiast says Shanghai Dragons in the playoffs. That's all I heard from there. Valmel, are you buying or selling this new Shanghai Dragons roster being in a good position here?
I think this is a massive buyer's market. I mean, you've gone from literally not winning a single game to, and I'll go on record in saying this potentially could be a playoff caliber team. Very reasonably could just blow everybody's expectations out of the water. You might as well just rebrand this team because this is a new team. They have new players. They're very, very talented players. their backline, very tenured throughout the Apex era of Overwatch. Ding, one of the most fantastic projectile players that I've seen come out of that region. DM, not shabby at all. Mm-hmm. Not a bad player. Very good hitscan talent. This team is just absolutely new. And now we can actually look at some of the players that they've actually retained from last year's roster. Mm-hmm. This is a new chance for Gaguri. This is a new chance for Fearless. We can actually see them fit within, to Nicole's mm-hmm. point, fit within a structure that actually kind of speaks the same language, has a preseason to work with, mm-hmm. develop talent, work with coaches that they've also imported from Kongdu. Mm-hmm. This could be, you could see Shanghai from not winning a single game to being, you know, eighth place, maybe even sixth place, let's say. Mm. It's almost likely, I would say. I'd be almost willing to put money on it at this point.
Ooh. So literally buying, potentially.
Yes, I will buy that stock.
Interesting. Fishsticks, last words here. Buying or selling this new Shanghai Dragons roster?
There's a 100% chance that this roster is going to be much better than last year. That's it. I got to buck the trend and say sell because of the horrible disappointment that is still haunting me today that we never saw the why am I forgetting what they're called? MY team that literally took Lunatic High to the brink before Overwatch League even started. Mm-hmm. The fact that they still are not going to go with proven Chinese talent bugs me so much that I got to give this a sell, even though they're going to be 1,000 times better than they were before.
I would just like to point out that 1,000 times zero is still zero, but without getting into minutia, let's move on here and talk about other roster signings here. This might be a theme for this whole section, you might say. Roar and Decay have gone to the Gladiators. Of course, Decay was the player who was rumored to have had a whole bidding war going over him. The question here is, buy or sell? Pesto, we'll start with you. Buy or sell Roar and Decay being able to fill that giant fissure sized hole left in the Gladiators?
Fissure.
Man, that would have been so much smarter. I'm gonna go back and edit this and have me say that.
So there's the pieces of KDP that Shaden County couldn't grab. I mean, the team's now exactly half Korean and non-half Korean. I'm gonna do a soft buy. I know you hate soft buys. You want firm answers.
Well, Contenders has soft region lock, so maybe I'll allow soft buys now.
I think Roar has massive shoes to fill. There's no way of getting around that. And it's not just that Fissure was an incredible talent. It was also that Fissure was, at least publicly, the figurehead of the team. I mean, you're on a team with Surefour, one of the most popular players in North America, and all the conversations about Fissure. Mm-hmm. And I think that whether they wanted to or not, it wound up being their social media presence. It wound up being their branding. This is the story of the team that Fissure joined midseason and they became playoff contenders. And I think that it's setting up Roar to be in very difficult position if he doesn't deliver immediately, because he's going to be chasing that comparison with Fissure the entire time. Mm-hmm. As for Decay, I mean, if your only criteria is we need a better DPS player than Asher, that's not particularly difficult based on how Asher was performing last season. So I think he's going to be fine. I think anything that he does is going to be an upgrade. I think he is a clear upgrade. But what I'm most concerned about is how does Gladiators as a brand recover from the fact that this is such a huge part of not just them, but the league itself is now wearing the black and gold. Mm.
Very interesting points there. Valmil, your thoughts on Roar and Decay filling that giant fissure that's so much smarter
to fill the fissure.
Fissure-sized
fissure, yes.
I like this move a lot, so I'm definitely buying. I think Decay was I would say he's probably one of the most sought-after pieces on the market during this postseason. He's been hyped up since his debut. I believe he was on Uncia back in the day in Apex Season 3. An amazing talent. You know, he's worth every single penny. He can flex very successfully onto pretty much any hit scan, a little bit of projectile, and he can actually play a good amount of flex tanks for KDP. You saw that in the finals against Runaway. Very, very talented player. Very flexible. And I think he's the star player you're looking to kind of build around for the future. Mm-hmm. I don't think, if the reports are true, who's to say? And if you're paying that kind of money, I think that is your franchise player. You're not letting him go anytime soon. He's going to fill the fissure. Now, Roar, on the other hand, to add some context to how I feel about Roar, you know, Fissure, while he was an amazing talent, while he was mechanically gifted and he kind of led the team when they needed a leader, that kind of turned around and bit them in the behind coming into playoffs when, you know, things went sour for the team. So if Roar can kind of fit within the team culture and I would say fit within the team culture and allow, you know, someone like Surefour to kind of dictate the pace of the game, kind of lead from that position. I think this is, you know, while it might not be necessarily as Roar might not be as mechanically gifted as Fissure, I think you can definitely make up for that in the DPS sector. So I think overall, this is a big buy for me. I'm excited to see what they can do.
Interesting. We've got soft buy and a big buy. Fish Sticks, what are you thinking? Are they going to be able, can anyone, even two players, and even a well sought after in the offseason DPS player, fill that hole that Fissure left?
I'm going to have to go sell on this one, and my reasoning for that is twofold. First of all, Fissure, obviously there's all these rumors that he was not a great teammate, that he has a big ego. I really don't know the inner story, but there were also a lot of rumors that Michael Jackson, or
Freudian slip, I was wondering where is this going
was an asshole to his teammates on court, you know. That's like a pretty well-known thing. So I personally saw Fissure as not just a great talent but also an in-game leader that led Gladiators to a lot of their victories. So can Roar fill those shoes? The other reason is that there's a lot of crossover in the DPS roles with what Surefour plays. I mean, unless Tracer comes back into the meta, which Surefour can play but wasn't ever like super, super talented at, unless Tracer comes back into the meta in a big way, every other hero on this list, there's so much crossover between, I would argue, LA Gladiator's current star, which is Surefour. So there's, in my mind, this is a sell. And now I'm going to just slowly recover from that.
You're going to just slowly moonwalk out of the frame here. Nicole, last words here. Are Roar and Decay able to fill the void of Fissure?
Yeah, I'm going to buy this one. I think it was smart to bring in two players from Kongdu rather than bringing in two players from different teams because they can, you know, build off each other just like Shanghai. But I think it really comes down to DK maybe stepping up and becoming a leader like Fissure was. And I think that the loss of Fissure, they'll feel that for sure. But things went so south at the end that I think that the team mentality and kind of the team, just the team overall team experience will be more positive if they're able to really kind of have a player that wants to be there. Obviously, we don't know the full story there, but from everything that went down, it seems clear that he wasn't happy. Fissure wasn't happy there. And if he stayed with this team, it would just go down in flames.
Yeah, when you're in the biggest game of the season, or when your team is in the biggest game of the season and you're just not in the arena, I don't care whose decision that was. There's something probably not super great about that on his end. But 'tis neither here nor there. We will see when LA Gladiators plays against Seoul Dynasty.
Hell yeah, can't wait.
It's going to be hype for sure. But speaking of hype, let's move right along and talk about the new hotness here. The Toronto team has unveiled their branding as well as six players from their roster now. I think it was four up until a few hours ago. There's another two here. They are the Toronto Defiant. So Fish Sticks, we'll start with you. Buy or sell the, we can do two if you want to do a separate buy and sell each for the branding and the roster. If you want to differentiate, you can.
I'll do a buy on the branding. I know some people were, you know, talking smack about the logo, but also I want to go back, like put yourselves back into where we were about a year ago when all of the team branding was being announced one by one. Everyone shit on every brand as it was announced. And then it's more, I think it's that like human psychology thing where the more you see something, the more you like it, because none of those logos look bad to me anymore, and like at least half of them looked bad to me originally. I think this one actually looks good to me right off the bat. And it's kind of like a callback to more traditional sports. You look at you think about the LA Dodgers, you think about the San Francisco Giants, you know, it's the letters like kind of over each other. I know that's kind of a weird like parallel where esports, we don't need that, but to me, I think this logo is going to age well. The only negative aspect is that they have basically the same exact colors as the Atlanta team, which seemed weird that like two teams being announced back to back have the same colors.
Do you mean the Atlanta Reign or the Atlanta Falcons in the NFL that literally have the same exact color scheme?
That too, yeah. It's a whole thing now. In terms of the roster, I'm going to just, you know what? I'm going to have to take a pass because Envy as a player never really stood out to me as like a should be a starter in Overwatch League forever. But like the rest of these people on this roster, I just, frankly, I'm just own up to it. I don't know how they play well enough to give a good answer.
A little bit niche.
Yeah, I don't really know any of these players, I'm not going
to
lie.
Fair. Just, okay, makes sense. Nicole, we'll move to you. Buying or selling? We'll start with the branding and then move on to the team of the Toronto Defiant.
Well, first I want to say really, really great hat that you're wearing today. Really great hat.
The panda bear rears its head.
But seriously, I really like the design. I think it's cool, and that's what teams, you know, it reminds me, it's designerly like the NYXL logo, which everyone hated at the beginning, but now it's everyone loves it.
Hate it, but go on.
I didn't hate it either, but you know. I think this logo is going to look really good on gear. People are going to want to buy their merchandise. And that's important. That's how we're going to, you know, this is people supporting the league, and that's important. As for, what was I going to say? Oh, the colors. I mean, like, I wrote about this on Twitter, but like, I swear to God, if we get another team that's red or blue, I'm going to blow up, like not blow up, emotionally, but like explode physically. There are so many colors out there. Why red and why blue?
Just go pink, man. Everyone's
go pink, peach.
There's so many different colors to kind of take.
I will blindly support the first magenta team. Let it be known.
There you go.
Let it be publicly known.
Could have been Mayhem. Could have been.
Still could.
Mayhem and Aqua. Magenta and Aqua. Yeah.
Right. There we go. But as for the roster,
come on, guys. It's niche. Come on.
It sounds kind of
there's
like
so much Overwatch.
Yeah, I'm going soft sell.
Okay.
The jury's still out here. Although I do love Aid, so.
Fair enough. Pesto, we'll start with the branding here.
All right. So I don't feel like I am qualified to make a judgment on this. I guess they're going for edgy. It's black and red. It's sharp angles. It's teenagers in hoodies with moody voiceovers. It's not really for me, but I am at least a decade older than their target demographics. And based on the general reception, I'd say it's been pretty successful. So I guess that's a buy. But it wouldn't be me buying. It'd be me buying that everyone else is buying, if that makes any sense.
I wish it didn't, but it did.
Okay, yeah, there we go. All right. Anyways, I am going to hard sell the way that was released, because trickling players 2x2 was a stupid thing to do, because every single one of those releases has been overshadowed by a bigger announcement. The two players today got overshadowed by contenders. The two players earlier got overshadowed by contenders leaks and leak drama. The two players before that got overshadowed by all the Atlanta. So I mean, I can go and look at that list of players on a website and say, oh, that is still partly the team that they have, but it doesn't have any impact. And I think I don't think it's a particularly strong roster where any one player you're going to see is like, wow, that is a huge pickup. I think that it's a decent, roster. I think that they have a great staff. I think that Bishop being a fluent English speaker is going to open up doors should they ever decide they want to go for a mixed roster. I think that Roy being their numbers wizard, I mean, he was scraping statistics and doing analysis with it before anyone else was. Mm-hmm. I think that they have potential to improve on a not particularly stellar roster with the coaching, mm-hmm. but in terms of the roster itself, I'm going to say.
Fair point. Valmil, last words here. Branding, roster, Toronto Defiant.
This is definitely a double buy for me, starting off with the branding. I definitely agree with Pesto in saying that they it was a missed opportunity, but I think theoretically, I think it was probably the most to milk every inch of this roster as much as possible and just really get the Toronto Defiant in the zeitgeist of mm-hmm. the community and really push, you know, keep putting it at the front of Reddit, you know, mm-hmm. keep feeding them information over and over. And unfortunately, it did kind of get overshadowed, which, you know, it happens. But this roster, I think, is going to surprise a lot of people. I think if you go back and you look at Ivy, this kid is absolutely incredible. Very, very big pickup. Very, very undervalued, I would say. I think mm-hmm. he could be... You might see him traded next season for a nice lump sum of money. I'll say that. And again, I think a lot of people are going to be surprised when they see this team come out. And I think they are kind of going to be the underdog story of this season. I mm-hmm. think you could see them do very well. So, I you know, while again, I'm not entirely too knowledgeable about these players either. From the bits and pieces that I've seen, I'm, you know, optimistic to say the least, cautiously optimistic, but mm-hmm. buys across the board for me on this team.
All right.
Are they better or worse than Shanghai?
Shanghai season one or season two?
Oh man, let's start with season one. Do you think they're better than season one, Shanghai?
I'm a game guy. I got to clarify. I just want to make sure my rules. It's possible that they could be, they could compete for a wild card spot coming into, you know, seasonal playoffs, but we'll have to see. It's going to be a tough race in that regard, but I'd lean on not necessarily, not off the bat. We'll have to see exactly what the team looks like coming in, but it's a possibility.
Interesting. But let's shift the focus here from Toronto and move across the pond to Paris. We got the roster and coaching staff announcement for Paris. Still no branding though. Come on. Like, what are you holding out? Is that good? Probably not. But let's
be an Eiffel Tower. Come on.
Yeah, I know, right? But Nicole, we'll start with you. Buy or sell this roster for Paris?
I'm buying. I'm excited for this roster, and I have to say that this team has some of the best names I've ever seen in the Overwatch League. Finnbjorn Johansson, Roni Tilhonen. These are good names.
It's true.
Yes.
You just like Nordic names.
Yeah. I just like Nordic names, so I'm showing my bias there. But truly, I think it's cool that they decided to go full European. I think having a basis of French players is something the community in Europe and specifically in France are going to be so excited for. This isn't something we've seen yet, really. Yeah, this isn't something we've seen where players are actually tied to where their team is from. And that's huge for the community. I know a lot of community members and fans have wanting to see that. And, mm-hmm. you know, we'll see how they all play together. We've seen some of them in the Overwatch World Cup play together. And, you know, I think, you know, where they stand in the league, that's yet to be seen. But I think that, you know, from a PR community perspective, this is like an easy buy.
True. And from a number of consonants in their first names, also a huge buy from Nicole as well.
Do not forget that point. Yes.
For sure. Pesto, what do you think? Buying or selling this Paris roster?
I'm going to split it. I'm going to buy the coaching staff. I'm going to sell the roster. I think that this is an excellent coaching staff. I think that Damon is going to bring... I mean, there are not too many expansion teams that are going to have veteran OWL coaches. Mm-hmm. I think that Seta has been so hyped. The things he was able to do with Ninjas in Pajamas, the things that he was able to do with all of the Gigante variations. I think especially now when tanks are coming back into the meta, remember Ninjas in Pajamas was the people that started this whole thing. Mm-hmm. So having someone that knows tank styles intimately is going to be great. I don't really know what to think about Fifi. He led the championship season 2 Eagles. He led the thoroughly mediocre season 1 Eagles. And then I still have no freaking clue what Kai Kai does or how good he is. So I'm going to let Reddit decide that.
Oh, please don't let Reddit decide anything.
As for the players, I'm going to sell. I think that, yes, it's great to have a European super team. I think that they're going to have an instant fan base. But you know what else brings out fans? Winning. And I'm not sure that this is a team that will be in the top half. The first thing that I look at is they have no depth and support, and their main support is Cruz. And Cruz is a veteran name. He has a long legacy. I am not convinced that he is the best main support in Europe. And that means I'm definitely not convinced he's one of the best main supports in the league. I would like to see them get some two ways and support for some depth in case he doesn't work out. Mm-hmm. Shadowburn was pushed out of his roster spot. Fincy didn't play much last year. I mean, there's a lot of reason to look at this roster and say, mm-hmm. they're going to be popular, but I think they're going to struggle. And considering that the last all-European team didn't work out so well, I hope for the fans that they do a decent showing. I would not expect them to make playoffs. Mm-hmm. I would even not be surprised if they pick up a few more players out of Europe before the end of the midseason signing window.
Interesting. But here's the real question. Are they good enough to beat Shanghai?
Season one, season two.
The fact that you had to ask the question and think about it is enough of an answer for me.
I don't think that they'll make playoffs, and I think Shanghai is going to be right there on the border. So I think that they're bottom half of the table.
Interesting.
Can I make a counterpoint?
Sure.
Go ahead.
About you said that winning brings out fans, but Shanghai, they got no wins. It's and true. Probably got the most fans in the entire Overwatch League.
True. Think about it.
So what you're saying is that Paris needs to lose every game.
That's
and
exactly
get fans.
Yes, and
that's exactly
the reason they'll lose every game and because they
That's don't. Exactly what I'm saying. Yes.
Oh boy. This I don't know what to think about this, but as long as New York and Toronto beat them, I don't care. Volmel, what are your thoughts here, buying or selling this Paris roster?
While I did say that Toronto could be a sleeper pick, I'm going to put my foot forward, and I think Paris is going to be my dark horse team coming into season. So I am buying. Coaching staff can do a lot with this roster. I think this roster has a lot of promise. They have a very clear style, which is always nice to see that the coaching staff has built this roster with some sort of color in mind. They want to be very aggressive. So with a very clear style in mind, they could be, the Philly Fusion of this season, where, the kind of stock of this team ramps up over time. Mm-hmm. And I agree to Pesto's point. I do think they need a little bit more help at support. Just giving them a little bit more depth. I've always been a fan of at least having one person on the bench. So allowing them to rotate out if, motivation becomes an issue, if, meta changes are bound to happen. So that's definitely something that you need to have. But I think this roster is really, really something to keep your eyes on. And I think it's going to be a dark horse. Now, are they going to make playoffs? That's still up in the air. But I think they could seriously they could play spoiler, I'd say. They could be a team that you can't just overlook. I don't think they're going to be bottom of the pack. I would put them, nicely at 10th, 11th. I'd say
the old San Francisco Shock spot. I see.
Yeah, exactly. Not a bad team.
Certainly not a bad team. Certainly not making the playoffs. Got it. Fishsticks, last words here. Buying or selling this Paris roster?
This is the one that I want to buy the most, but my heart and my brain tells me it's a huge sell. And here's why. I have to agree with actually what pretty much everyone has said so far in the support lineup. We're looking at a very thin lineup here. Again, Cruz was well known for like Genji like way back in the day, and then he flexed his support, but it was never proven that he was actually like an amazing support player. Mm-hmm. I mean, we'll kind of get a preview at the Overwatch World Cup in just a couple of weeks, but not sure on that. When you look at the tank lineup, honestly, I don't know who LH Cloudy even is. Ben Guest has looked good at times, but has never really looked dominant to me. Then you go over to DPS. obviously Soon had a great season. Mm-hmm. He really surprised me with how well he played for LA Valiant. But everyone else on that list is kind of a thonker for me. I mean, Shadowburn, he's my favorite Genji to watch in the mm-hmm. entire league. He's so flashy. I don't know what it is about his Genji play. It's so flashy. But it did not work in Overwatch League. Not to mention, Genji's not in a good spot right now. The fact that guys like Nico and Danye got picked up when Davin is still teamless, mm-hmm. That to me is a big surprise. Because I feel like Davin could have fit perfectly on this roster. So just going at each role, I just don't see the depth that I was kind of looking for. Mm. So.
Man, a lot of varied opinions on those questions there, or on that topic there. Love it. But now we move in to the last question, the last topic here for this regular segment. And oh man, this is the one everyone's been waiting for. Everyone's been waiting for me to talk about it. Everyone, every day.
Oh, is he gonna play? You think he's gonna play in Overwatch League?
Fine, we get to talk about it. The high noon minus points is done. Dufresne is in Overwatch League. The Atlanta Reign have signed him, and we've seen their branding and the roster. So, Pesto, I'll give you the honors. Start with you first. Are you buying or selling? We'll do the same thing with Toronto. We'll do the branding, and then we can even do three. The branding, the roster, and then Dufresne, if you want.
I am going to sell both. I'm going to sell the branding. I don't understand what Reign has to do with Atlanta. I don't understand what the Phoenix has to do with Atlanta or the word Reign. I really hope it's not an allusion to the South will rise again. In terms of the players, it's actually not Dufresne that I'm the most worried about. It is Gator. I think it's a strange pickup for a number of reasons. First, you have signed the Element Mystic tank line, which is a solid tank line, and they are both Korean. And then you have a potential third tank player in a three-tank heavy meta who doesn't speak Korean. But more important than that, there was some weird shit that happened with him and with some of his teammates a couple months ago. And I really hope that Brad and co. did their background checks, because he's been accused of griefing. He's been accused of win trading. Mm-hmm. I don't think any of it has stuck. Otherwise, he wouldn't be here today. But there is so much potential for something to get dug out and for him to become the problem on the team. And I would not be surprised if 6 months from now I'm back here on this podcast and we are talking about this team imploding and it has nothing to do with Dufresne. I actually think Dufresne is a great pickup. He has very good hit scan. If there was any organization that was going to pick him up, it was going to be Brad. There's a lot of mutual trust there. Mm-hmm. I think that's very important. I think that him grinding for the Overwatch League means he's going to be spending less time on his stream. And I've always thought that he and XQC are poster children for streamers with troublesome aspects to their personalities who get caught in feedback loops where they act out on their stream and their stream eats it up. And so they act out more on their stream and it gets further and further and further along until it's a huge snowball mess. So him spending less time in his stream, probably good for him. But I can't get over the fact that I don't like the Gator pickup. Mm-hmm. I don't really think many of the other names are holy crap, this is going to be good enough in case that they do run into problems. Mm-hmm. So the only part of it I like is that they got Brad, and I think Brad is a great personality. He has great history in the scene. I think mm-hmm. that Selfless is worth remembering. But other than that, there's really nothing I like about Reign.
Interesting. So we did get confirmation in the chat that Phoenix is more of a historic thing to Atlanta that like burnt down a bunch of times. I actually heard that on a like 6-year-old episode of Harmontown. So I kind of knew that.
Well, also, like Atlanta has birds for like their like sports teams. Sports,
yeah.
So
yeah, it makes sense.
So they're.
I was thinking, no, I'll save that joke for later. Vama, we'll move on here. Buying or selling the Atlanta branding, roster, etc.
I kind of liked how simplistic their kind of teaser was for the unveiling of the branding. I definitely added that song. Apparently it was on NHL 2019, and I was like, oh, let me put that in. I kind of like that song. The video was kind of simple. I appreciate that. And I can't really say that much for the logo. It is kind of a mess, and it does resemble some sort of pocket monster emblem of some sort.
Not even the right team, man. Come on.
It's a little rough for me. I'm not a big fan of the bird. You know, it feels a little shoehorned from traditional sports. Mm-hmm. So that's a kind of a sell for me. I'm not a big fan of the logo. Color scheme again, kind of generic, very Shanghai Dragons, very, you know, Toronto. It's kind of tiresome. You know, where's some green teams? You know, give me some aquamarine. Teal, exactly. Peach.
Magenta. I'm still waiting for magenta.
There's so many other colors that I feel like they could have gone with. That could have made sense, you know. But in regards to the roster, I have to buy for the most part. I know, right?
There's a lot of hesitance there.
I think there's a lot of
soft buy.
It still counts as a soft buy if you say it like that, for sure.
Okay, fair enough. So we'll call it a soft buy, as much as I didn't want to, you know, waver in that much. But I think you can move Gator if he is that much of a worry. I think you put him on a two-way contract. And I think that's probably what they're going to do. Let him play in contenders. Let him develop there. If he, you know, acts out, you know, adios. But then you look at, I'll start with the support line. I think Kodak is another one of those talents that were bought on the cheap and that can really consist with this roster for a long, long time. Could be a very, very solid pickup. I'm looking, I get very like Big Goose Shaz vibes from him, where a lot of people don't know him, so they kind of underrate him, but I think he's actually quite talented. And then we have to look at the DPS, Dufran and Enlair. Very, very talented. Even if Dufran just kind of goes to the wayside, Enlair, compared or paired up with his projectile player, who is South Korean, we'll get into him in a minute. Very, very talented DPS dude, very scary. Tank line, one of the best. You know, you kind of knew where this team spent their budget. I keep saying that, but I think it's true. And you can quote me on this. I think, you know, a lot of people didn't know of Carpe when he joined the league last season. I think Erster is going to be the Carpe of Overwatch Season 2. You can quote me on that. He's that good.
That's a quotable one there. Ford, you heard it.
You can put me on Reddit. You can put me on the social media. He's going to be the Carpe of Overwatch Season 2. Brad scouted Carpe before, brought him to NA. Look what happened. He scouted Erster. He brought him over. You're going to see what happens.
Interesting. That is a hot take if I've ever heard one. But Fishsticks, what are you thinking here? Buying or selling the Atlanta Reign?
I'm a sell. It looks extremely generic to me, and it's also the same colors as Toronto. I don't hate the Phoenix as a logo, but it looks like they try to do too much with it. I'm not a graphic designer, but there's a lot going on in that logo. The name I think is fine, and it fits with other Atlanta sports franchises, so that's good. But the branding, sell.
And what about the roster here?
Sorry, I'm just like waiting for you to tee it up for me. I am the world's biggest optimist for Dufran. I like, obviously, if you've watched his stream, you know how talented he is. Mm-hmm. But as someone who's at a high-ish level player, been GM most seasons, it's like very subtle things in people's play that you watch that really, to me, like, make me think, wow, that player is on another level. And you see that from Dufran all the time. And think about the meta next season. Soldier 76 is buffed. McCree is buffed. Particularly just Soldier 76. Like, I can see him no-lifing Soldier 76 and being the best hitscan player in the world. I mean that literally. I hate to use absolutes because people will always jump down your throat and be like, you know, the Reddit thing.
Who Reddit? No, never. No.
But I truly believe that Dufran has the potential to be the best player in this league. From what I've seen from his hit scan, it's just something beautiful to see. So the rest of the roster, I'm less sure about. But if you can build something good around Dufran, I think this team is going to be doing great.
Interesting. Not quite as hot a take. But still, actually, it might be just as hot a take saying that Dufran might be the best player in the league. Hot takes all around.
He could end up being, yes.
No, I think you said it. I think Fishstick, we can quote it here. Fishstick says Dufran confirmed best player in the league all time, actually. He said it. He said it here. Sorry, folks. But Nicole, last words here on Atlanta Reign, buying or selling?
I'm going to go with a sell across the board. You know, like everyone said, the colors, the logo, it's just, it's honestly, I think the logo is too simple. I think it looks, you know, very generic. Like you could find this on any, you know, you can find this anywhere. Mm-hmm. As for DeFran, I am worried. I'm really worried. I think it's going to be hard. You know, I know that DeFran is a great player. You know, he could be one of the best, but I'm skeptical that you could build a team around someone who has a history of being so volatile. Being part of a team is just that, being part of a team. And I'm concerned that he's going to, you know, if he keeps up the way that he's acting on stream with this dynamics in a team, it's not going to benefit anyone. It's going to bring the team down. And I think, and I hope that he is in a better place than when he got suspended way back. I truly do. And if he is, and if he has changed his behavior and his ways, like maybe he could fit into this team and maybe the team could work. But, you know, from my perspective, it's not at that yet. He got suspended like last week or something.
Well, I mean, that's, I guess, maybe par for the course for some players like that. The only thing I'll say about this roster is that I actually flew out to Africa the other week, and I literally was praying for them. You could say I blessed the rain down in Africa. Okay, no, I'm done. That's it. That's it.
I was wondering where that was. It didn't really hit me until
Oh, really? Africa? That's,
man,
really cool.
I'd love
to hear stories.
Man, I was waiting to cue that joke
Shame on you. Shame on you, good sir.
But that is going to be the end of the regular show here. This is the point where we cut down to the top two and determine a winner. In fourth place, sorry to say, we're going to have to let go of Pesto. Sorry, with 64 points. Very valiant effort. A lot of hot takes.
Knew it was going to be disappointing as soon as I put on the Mayhem jersey.
Oh, no.
You just set yourself up for failure. In third place, also, unfortunately, being let go at this point, is Volumil. Sorry, bud. I'm sure.
I like being in last. I like to have the power in my hands to decide who wins. So it's
kind of cool. That's true. You guys do get to make a very important decision. But that does mean that Nicole and Fishsticks are our finalists here as we move on to the final question.
The payload is approaching its destination.
And we've talked about a lot of very serious topics, and we've talked about a lot of great insights into Overwatch League and all that stuff. Throw that away here. I just want to know here, what are we going to see at BlizzCon? What huge, awesome, cool announcement is going to be at BlizzCon? Go as creative, as outrageous as you want. It doesn't matter. You're just trying to win over Pesto and Volumil here. And we will start with Fishsticks. What are you thinking? What are we going to see at BlizzCon?
Well, if you want me to go outlandish,
I sure do.
I'm going to go out with my number one hope for BlizzCon, maybe 2018, maybe 2019. Maybe 2020. I don't know. The number one thing that I want to see as both a fan of Overwatch and an Activision Blizzard shareholder, make Overwatch free to play. Do it. Just do it, Blizzard. That's not the realistic prediction,
right,
by the way.
But that would be big.
This is my heart. Make Overwatch free to play. Let the floodgates open. Suddenly, number one esport in the world, baby.
That would be huge. Definitely outlandish. I love it. Nicole, what are we going to see at BlizzCon?
Well, I had something planned to win you over, Blevins. But I'm just going to go with it now anyways.
You might as well.
All right. We've got a new Overwatch hero.
Okay.
He's tall. Okay. He's got a beard.
Okay.
He's wearing a Toronto Defiant hat and a Team USA World Cup jersey. He's carrying a railgun. It's Blevins. We don't have to call him Blevins. We can call him Nemesis. Perhaps.
Dude. Nicole, you're not actually supposed to leak what's coming out at BlizzCon. Just your just a fake prediction.
He's got electric nets, regeneration. He can call down nukes. It's Blevins.
Wow. I love it. I mean, I love it. But but we're going to have to see if Pesto and Bobo
have been won over. I committed to this. I expected to get to this position, and I have faltered, but you know, I just had to go with it.
You gotta play to your outs. The panda bear rears its head once again.
I just had to go with it.
Volumel, what are your thoughts? Who are you going with here? Are you going with literally me as an Overwatch hero, or are you going with Overwatch being free to play? What's going to happen in just a few days at BlizzCon?
Yeah, you know, I appreciate the preparation, Nicole. You know, I apologize, Blevins, but I am going to have to go with Overwatch free to play. I think that definitely is very important. But I will say the infinite, you know, I just choose you answer was story modes for all of the heroes for me. So if you picked story modes, you would have definitely got my vote. But I'm going to go with fish sticks.
All right, Pesto. The victor lies in your hands. What are you going with here? Fish sticks or Nicole?
So I was going to say that my instant win you over answer would have been an Overwatch mobile game. Just a place where you print money. But I am also going to go with fish sticks because I would very much like to see the viewership go up. I'd like to see the playership go up. And I think free-to-play will help with those things. So that is what I'm hoping for. And I guess that means we have a new champion.
That is true. I will say that my insta win, which I always have, just in case people didn't know, I always have an insta win. I know there's other contestants, but if people pick my insta win, they're instantly getting it no matter what, was in our Blizzard Run Fantasy Overwatch League. That was my insta win. But that does mean, Fish Sticks, that you are the victor here. Victory is yours. You can take your victory lap, sell out, shout out, whatever you would like. The floor is yours, sir.
Hey, if you guys are at BlizzCon, come say hi. I'll be there. I guess most of us would be there. Some of us? All of us? I don't know.
I did not get tickets.
Too bad. BlizzCon's going to be awesome. I can't wait to check out the spectator mode. You know, I wanted to rant about something, but I never found a moment to do it.
Go for it.
Rant.
I do want to talk.
Rant. Yes.
I have a bone to pick. I have a bone to pick with Reddit and just people overreacting about things. We talked about it earlier, but I just want everyone to kind of reflect a little bit for a second. When you first heard about the most recent Pharah changes, what was your initial thought? Was it, Blizzard is the worst? How, they're so bad at balancing. Why would they nerf her? She's already got the worst win rate in GM. Like every single other person on Reddit, was that your introspection? Literally 100% of the comments that I saw about Pharah were that exact sentiment. There was no deviation. If anyone said, you know, guys, I think this might be a buff, it just got downvoted into oblivion. Tell me, were you that person? Now, look at Pharah. She is going to be played at Overwatch World Cup. Why do you think we're seeing Libero switched into the South Korean team at World Cup? It's because Pharah's going to be played like crazy because she's way better now. So please, next time you want to jump to a crazy opinion, think twice about it. Think twice about it.
I will say that even though it doesn't make sense and it doesn't benefit you whatsoever, you did just pass 1,000 points for calling out Reddit after the fact, like, after already having won.
Like, I really enjoyed the microphone grab, like, for effect, too. So, you know, I gave you some points there as well.
Yeah, you literally are the official record holder for most number of points at 1,002 for calling out Reddit for It's Garbage. You take that. Wow. Take that, Reddit. But
I love you, Reddit. I'm a moderator on Reddit. I'm sorry, Reddit. But you'll learn from this.
Not sorry about anything, but I am sorry to say that it is going to be the end of the show. Thank you, everyone, for watching. Thank you, everyone, for sticking around for 25 episodes of Around the Payload. We will hopefully see you guys at BlizzCon. If you see, I'm just going to say, if you see any of us, come say hi. If you know you guys are weirded out by that, I'm sorry for volunteering yourselves as having people come up and say hi. But if you see me, you can say hi. And when we play Nemesis, who is definitely just me, Nicole leaked it. Be happy.
Sorry,
about it.
Blizzard.
sorry, guys. We gave you that awesome news a day before it happened. But guys, that is going to be it. For Pesto, for Vomil, for Fish Sticks, for Nicole, I am the Blevins, and we will see you guys after BlizzCon around the payload. Bye-bye!